This is Colleen Plimpton. I'm a professional garden communicator. I write a weekly column for the Hearst, Connecticut Media Group, which appears in the Danbury News-Times and other Fairfield County newspapers. I also lecture, teach, and write about gardening. My newest book is Mentors in the Garden of Life, which is a linked series of stories about life lessons learned in the garden.
This is really a very busy time, isn't it?
Oh, Pat, it's a very busy time. The months of March, April, and May are almost the busiest for gardeners, and even though it's still cold, there's lots of things we can do. We can start by picking up the sticks in our yard once we can step on our yards and sink in. We can also clean out those birdhouses. Perhaps there's been some overwintering mice or even some roosting birds in the birdhouses, and now it's time to clean them out, wash them thoroughly with a solution of 1% bleach to 10% to 10 parts water, and get those birdhouses ready for the songbirds that will be coming back to our area. The bluebirds are looking already.
Oh, wow, I hadn't even thought about that. I have a couple of birdhouses that I can see a little bit of debris sticking out of it. So you say just get in there and, wash it out.
That debris, wash out those birdhouses, and get them ready for our avian friends who will be coming very soon.
Now, when you talk about picking up sticks, I know there was because we had so much wind over this winter and so much snow and rain, I don't think there's one single tree on my property that hasn't lost a couple of limbs. What should we be doing? Should we be pruning, or is this too soon?
No, it is not too soon to prune. Get those clippers sharpened and get out there. And first of all, remove the crossed material, the crossed limbs, and obviously diseased limbs, and shape that tree, shape those shrubs. If the material is larger than we, the homeowner, are comfortable with, it's time to get in a professional arborist. But it is indeed time to prune and shape those woody materials.
I also have a tree that has, it looks like mushrooms up the side. I'm sure it's some sort of fungal growth there. Is this a time to call the arborist rather than trying to handle it and figure it out myself?
I would give it a couple more weeks and just see if you've got some buds swelling on the trees, then the tree is probably healthy. And, just wait till the weather moderates a little bit. But then, yes, a professional arborist is always a good bet.
Seed catalogs have been coming for the last couple of months. I guess I have to really hold myself back because I want to order everything.
Oh, me too. I have a special bookmarking technique with my seed catalogs. I take color-coded sticky, and I put them on the areas that things I just absolutely have to have, like Morning Glory's Heavenly Blue. I have to grow those every year. So I will mark the things that I want, and then I will mark the things that I'd like to have. And that sort of keeps the chaos in order. But it is time to order seeds. It is time to lay in the seed starting supplies, that really good mixture that is specially meant for seed starting. It's not garden soil. It's not potting soil. It is seed starting medium. And we need to make sure we've got that we've got our trays ready, that we've got our seeds ready. And what's very important, besides adequate light, of course, is a gentle watering system. When you first get the seedlings popping up out of the ground and out of your seedling tray, it's so exciting, but we don't want to drown them. We have to have a very easy method for watering them so that they aren't sort of flushed out of that potting medium.
When do you start seeds? Is it March, or do we wait till April?
It really depends on what you're growing. You take the seed package and you look at the suggested date for sowing, and then you kind of count back the number of weeks that until the seedling will be ready to put in the ground. Now, for things, cold-tolerant things like pansies and larkspur, absolutely, it's time now. For warmer weather things, well, I might wait a little bit until the middle of March or even the beginning of April, because you don't want seedlings that are gangly and striving to get outside when the weather isn't warm enough for them.
Now, I've heard that you should start planting your peas on St. Paddy's Day. Is that an old wives' tale, and is there anything to that? Does it work?
It is an old wives' tale, and it usually works. As with anything else, Pat, we have to be aware of the soil conditions and the weather conditions. The old-timers planted their peas long about the middle part of March, but they always made sure that the soil wasn't obviously frozen, mm-hmm. but also not too soggy, not too cold. So it's almost a test every year to see if conditions are right. You want to get out there and pick up a handful of that soil, and you want to make sure that it's not got frozen clods in it. And you want to make sure that when you tighten it in your fist and release it, that it breaks apart and doesn't remain a sodden, heavy mess. And when it's ready, when it will break apart, even if it's a little cool, then it's time to plant.
You know, we talked about this earlier. I think this year that I'm going to make sure that I do a photo gallery of what I'm up to in the garden, because that would really help.
Oh, it's a super idea. You know, as good a gardener as we are, we do not remember everything. We can't. So it's wonderful to get out there with the digital cameras nowadays. It's easy. And take a picture every week of what's happening and what's not happening, so that we have a timeline, a flow of what's occurring in our gardens. We'll use that year after year.
That is such a great idea. Do you rake off all your mulch, and when do you start doing that?
I do not rake off my mulch. I use a really good organic mulch. I like Sweet Peat. I like AgriMix. And I feel that that mulch is going to work for me year-round. It is feeding the soil, as well as beautifying the soil, keeping the moisture in the soil, keeping weed seeds down. But usually in the beginning of the season, there is some mulch left over from last year. But if it's not a good inch or so thick, then I'll top it off with a new mulch. And I order in bulk. I order in April, early April, to make sure that I've got it.
Yeah.
And then I apply it gradually as the garden needs it.
Now, you said something that was rather provocative. You freeze your compostables until until the spring, I guess?
I believe so much in composting. I think it is an essential part of gardening. And so I compost year-round. And here in the tri-state area, it's difficult to do in the winter because our winters are so severe. But I collect my leftover peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and the eggshells and the banana peels. I keep them in a crock right beside my kitchen sink. And when that crock is full, I actually put it into a couple of 30-gallon plastic garbage cans, which have holes drilled in them. They live out on my deck, which is out in the elements. I just dump that stuff in there, and I might layer it with a little sawdust or coffee grounds from the local coffee shop. I do that all winter long, and the stuff freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws, and then in March, it's a really rich, slurry, organic mix that I then take to the compost pile in the yard, and it jump starts the spring composting.
Oh, that's a great idea. But do you find critters on top of your garbage cans over the winter?
Here's my philosophy on critters, Pat. They live here, too.
Yeah, yeah.
They have been here before us. And if they want to come and turn my compost pile, well, that's just fine. However, if people really have if really feel strongly about not having critters in the compost, whether that's the compost in the garbage cans or whether that's the compost on the ground, I suggest that in the wintertime, people gather their compostable organic garbage and put it in plastic bags and just stick it in the freezer. When spring comes, and you can pitchfork the compost pile, the secret to keeping critters out of the compost pile in the warm weather is to bury that organic kitchen garbage very deeply in the compost pile, or to actually dig a hole in the garden and stick it in the ground and cover it with dirt. If the critters can't see or smell the kitchen organic leavings, they're probably not going to bother your compost.
That's a good idea. Do deer get after compost at all, do you know?
I have never seen a deer by the compost pile. However, most of us in the tri-state area struggle with deer.
Yeah.
And that's why it is so important. One of the most important things is to get out there as soon as we can walk on our property and start applying deer repellent. It really doesn't matter what deer repellent, as long as it is applied regularly. Because you know what? Deer are not intelligent creatures. And if they feel that your yard smells or tastes not good to them, they'll go to the neighbors. And that's what we want. We don't want them in our yard.
But you have a great deer repellent recipe.
I do. I have used my own mixture of eggs and water and Wiltproof, which is a fixative that you get at the nursery, and, oh, some liquid hot pepper sauce. The recipe is in my book. It's in the chapter on white-tailed deer. And I mix this stuff up. I keep it in my garage all year long. And I am out there, even in the winter, I apply this stuff to my shrubs and small trees once a month in winter. And in the growing season, I apply it once a week. And it works.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you've said that, and it's very intriguing. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been going over some landscaping plans, things that I'm going to do. You mentioned morning glories. You always order them. Anything that you have in your head that you want to get done this year?
I keep a list year-round of things that I want to get done. Now, do I get all those things done? No. Like most gardeners, our eyes are bigger than our tummies.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a number of trees and shrubs that I want to move. I grow seedling trees. I collect the seedlings from the woods, and then I will grow them on in my garden for a year or two, and then I'll place them where I want them to be. And I do the same with shrubs. And April is the time to transplant material.
Okay.
Woody material. Before they know they've been moved, get them in the ground. So I keep a list, and I cross things off as I do them. And I always like to try, in my ornamental gardens, I always like to try some different ornamentals. There are some gorgeous begonias, new begonias out, and some wonderful verbena. And so I will try some new things. It keeps me young and fresh as a gardener to try some new things, new vegetables, new annuals, new perennials every year.
Certainly is true. About ornamental grasses, they sort of start looking a little ragged at this time of year especially. I noticed that mine this winter were gorgeous. I mean, they just picked up the light and they almost froze in place. It was miraculous. But now they're looking a little under the weather.
Yes, they're bedraggled this time of year. Ornamental grasses really should be left up until about the middle of March. And as you say, they provide such an interesting specimen in the garden. The light catches them. They wave in the breeze. But you know what else they do? The ornamental grasses that we leave up over the wintertime provide some cover for birds. I often find birds who have visited my bird feeder and then kind of duck into the ornamental grasses as some respite from the wind. But now, as soon, is the time to cut down those grasses. And I say, hoop them with some garden twine and get out the clippers or get out the husband and cut them down and put those stalks, put those leavings, the ornamental grass leavings, into the compost pile. You'll have a big pile of them because there's usually a lot of stuff that comes off the ornamental grasses. And they're going to look really stubby and ugly for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. They'll come back.
Well, you were, It's a lot that we covered. Anything that you want to mention that I didn't ask you about?
Well, I think it's important that people understand there are certain plants besides ornamental grasses that really should be cut back in mid-March. One of the big questions I get when I go out and lecture on gardening topics is, what do I do about my butterfly bush, the buddleia?
Oh, yeah.
It is huge. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, well, St. Paddy's Day. Cut it down to about 18 inches.
18 inches?
18 inches.
Wow.
Yes. Really whack it down because the buddleia grows and blooms on new wood. So when you cut it down in the very early spring, it's going to grow but within bounds this year, and it will produce a wealth of those butterfly-attracting flowers. So that's the time of year to cut down the buddleia.